The underdog is howling.
Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in. It's been a while. The Bear, myself, Stanford Steve here. The crew back. Pod is up and going. It's one of the best weeks of the year. I still like last week better than this week because it's wall-to-wall nonstop action, but that's another conversation for another time. Bear, I'm going to start with this. This is the toughest bracket I've ever had to fill out in my life. Doing this all my life since I've been being able to write names on a line, this is the toughest year to fill out a bracket.
Yeah, and I think it's because you look at the number of close games we have lined in the first round. We've got 11 games already that have a point spread less than 3 points, and that doesn't even factor in the 11 seed playing games on Tuesday and Wednesday. We're probably going to get at least one more. I mean, it's more than you had combined the last 2 years. So if you've got a third of the games that are toss up coin flip type games, it's going to be a lot of wild variance and a lot of coin flippy games in people's brackets. Yeah, but a bunch of games having a lot of trouble with it. And it's weird because you go down, it's like the ones and the twos are all massive favorites. But if it's not a game involving a one or a two, it's tough sledding this year.
Yeah, and that's what gets me to this, because I started feeling that around after Thanksgiving and seeing the teams, and Alabama goes to Seattle and beats Gonzaga. They go through SEC at bad losses. It just felt to me like a year where a lot of teams had a chance. You didn't have that top tier where there was three teams and then everybody else. So on February 1st, I wrote down all the teams I thought can win a national title. I had 21 teams.
Yeah, I was going to say, we talked about this on Daily Wager one day, too. I think I thought you remember saying you had like 20 or 24 teams or something like that.
I had 21 teams on February 1st. I did it again on March 1st. I had 20, and I interchanged a couple in and out, and then I lost one. And then Selection Sunday, after going through the bracket yesterday morning, I did my final list, and I have 14. Mm-hmm. I have 14 teams where I think that can win the national title. And that seems like a ton. I get it. I went on our buddy Mac and Cube this morning. They were laughing me off the show with that theory. But I just because...
Whoa. Why were they laughing you off the show with that theory?
Nobody's as smart as those.
Is Kentucky like a Kentucky or Tennessee? It's like automatic. Or Auburn, SEC.
I think... I didn't have many wins in the tournament for UAB, Auburn, and Alabama. So people down there probably are not gonna like me.
Alabama might be an underdog against Rutgers or Notre Dame.
Bingo. That gets me to my
thoughts. Alabama, I'm sorry for going on a tangent here. Alabama might be like the most undisciplined, I don't want to say dumb, but they make some unbelievably idiotic between poor shots, stupid fouls, can't hit free throws. Like watching that game against Vanderbilt, that second half, it was unbelievable. That team's going to win a game of the tournament?
I don't think so. And let's start there. Let's start with your Nuggets. Now, listen, people, I saw people were tweeting at you as you start coming out and firing away with your NCAA tournament.
Oh, Texas Tech fans. That tweet, like, that means I'm picking Montana. Me saying, hey, it's a coincidence maybe, but the last four threes to lose in the first round were all from the Big 12. ... Montana State, anyone? That means I'm picking Montana State. I'm just throwing something out there as a conversation piece, as a little nugget as to what's happened recently.
And these nuggets.
Unbelievable.
Hey, people are, they're nuts, Bear. They're nuts.
I know they are.
Exactly.
We appreciate the passion, but
I do. Especially this time of year. But I do want to point out, these nuggets you're going to throw out, they're from your database,
yes,
which is man-made.
Correct.
This is a man-made database by you.
Mm-hmm.
NCAA tournament. You can't get this anywhere.
No. Yeah, this was, I remember this was about, I'd say 6 years ago, maybe. Would have been when I'd six, 7 years ago. I basically acquired all of past lines from tournament games, and ESPN made a deal to acquire some data. I think it was from the Gold Sheet, which had a bunch of NCAA closing lines, and I built this from scratch, and I'm pretty proud of it. And then other people in research, like Mackenzie Kramer and others, had some tweaking and made it bigger and better and more efficient. But we built this from scratch, and I'm it's one of the things I'm pretty proud of, because, like you said, I don't know of a place on the web where you got an all time NCAA database back to we got point spreads back to the field of 64 in 1985 that we can just kind of keep it apples to apples and kind of do everything. So I love mining this thing for little nuggets and little trends and just kind of notes it. Again, it doesn't mean that it means run out and play this game or
correct.
Play this side or, but hey, it's just kind of something to, hey, but I will say, I do think, and last week on his show, I think it was Gil Alexander had Dr. Bob Stoll on about conference tournament things. And he came out and said about like certain trends and situations and tournaments, they apply year after year, and they have it. And he's done very well playing things. This is like the one time of year where he does it. But I think the teams and the players may change, but the situations with the seeds, they stay the same. The situations with coaches in certain situations, they stay the same. So I think there is some relevance when you find whether it's a trend with an 11 seed who might be favored over a 6 seed. There is a reason why 11s have won 9 of the last 13 games when they're favored over 6 seeds. Like the situation kind of dictates the types of teams that you're kind of comparing and working with and dealing with. So some of those things I would pay a little bit more attention to.
Let's start there then, because when I look at now, listen, we'll give you all our picks and everything like that. But I want to get your information out there, because that's what I think is most important, is just trying to accumulate as much information. And when you see these 11s versus the 6s, obviously Bama is awaiting their opponent, Rutgers, Indiana. LSU is a 4.5-point favorite over Iowa State. Texas is, I believe, still a 1-point favorite. Mm-hmm. Even though I feel like the public's going to be all over Virginia Tech in that game. And then Michigan is the 11 and favored by 2.5 points over Colorado State. So your information you've accumulated on the 11s and the 6s, what can you tell us to make us feel better about those picks?
Yeah, there have been 13 11 seeds that have been favored over 6 seeds. 9 of them won outright and obviously covered. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing is that of the 9 of the 9 wins, they've been by an average of 16 points a game, and each has been by at least 12 points. So a lot of times these games aren't like people see this. Oh wow, the team seeded 5 spots lower is favored. Like why is that? A lot of times these games aren't close. So maybe you find an alt line with Michigan, 2.5. Maybe you find a Michigan minus 5.5, 6.5, 7.5, and you take a little bit of plus money there. Maybe you look and wait and see what happens with Rutgers and Notre Dame, or you look and see what happens if that Virginia Tech Texas game flips and Virginia Tech becomes the favorite. Because I think you're right, though. I think the two of the bigger public sides, I think, in the first round are going to be South Dakota State and Virginia Tech.
Did you know?
Yeah, I just, and that's where, and we'll talk about this in a bit. Like, as far as the bracket goes, I fill out a bracket totally based off public opinion. And like last year, I did well because I picked Baylor and everybody had Illinois because they came right in hot, red hot off the Big Ten. They had their Gonzaga. They had their other team. I just thought Baylor, because they were kind of off the radar, they didn't win their conference tournament. That's another thing I look at, where, you know, that steam could be really high and people, it's the last thing they see. Mm-hmm. And it's another thing. It's a really it's like NFL betting to me. You know, it's really, really hard to forget what you saw a team look like the week prior. And that's huge to me in March Madness. And that's why this year I don't have Gonzaga or Arizona. I right now I have two brackets. I have one. I don't even have a one seed making the Final Four. But then I look at Kansas, and, you know, Kansas is a team who everybody talks about their draw. That side, right? Everybody's talking about Kansas and Arizona and their draw that they like. I think Iowa's a big problem. I think they've just figured things out offensively and are just going to say, we'll outscore you. I don't care who we play. And Arizona's bracket, I look at Houston, who's a team, if they can get out of there, they ain't afraid of anybody. And they'll defend more than anybody Arizona's faced. That could be a problem. And like I said, if they play 10 times, yeah, Arizona's probably going to win 9 of them. Okay, but could that one time happen? And that's the one time I go with that, those brackets. How about just the idea of, you know, and this is what sticks out to me, because I look at Duke's a 2 seed, 17.5 they're given. Kentucky, 17.5 is a 2 seed. I can remember when 1s and 2s were given like 30 points. You know, like I just think this just shows you the veteran leadership these teams have, even though they're smaller schools. Gonzaga, 23.5. I saw one book, I think, opened up Gonzaga at 28. Like, there's numbers out there that I think are really eye-opening.
Baylor's 20. Baylor is 20.5 against Georgia. It's interesting, too, because Georgia State was a team that, when I was watching the Sun Belt tournament, like, I thought they'd be a 15, and I thought they would be a 15 seed that I would not want to play. I mean, they block a ton of shots. They play basically ZFG. I mean, I'm sure people know what that means. And I thought they would have been a very dangerous 15 seed. Now, whether they can beat Gonzaga or keep that game close, I don't know. But yeah, you're right. Like, I can remember the days where you got where those great Duke teams in the early 90s where we're laying massive amount of points.
UNLV
plays ridiculous amount of points.
Yeah. Give it a ton.
It's interesting what you said about teams winning your conference tournament and then kind of wanting to the public opinion. Like, I think the two obvious teams are Iowa and Tennessee. And I've been on Tennessee for a while now, and I will admit a little bit concerned at the amount of weight that the bandwagon has been picking up. So I have a couple of very nice futures on the Vols. But I would think they're going to be a very popular pick. And look, I was kind of out there on Sunday, kind of part of the charge as to why they should be a two, or like why are they not a two and Duke is, comparing the resume metrics and whatever else. And but you look at the draw a little bit more for Tennessee, and it's like, it's not path sometimes means more than seed. Yes. And they get you get a Villanova team who you lost to in a weird fluky game the first time, and they've been dealing with their own injury problems, and you beat Arizona already, and the way you play defense, if Creasa isn't fully healthy, maybe you'll be okay in that game. And then Iowa is the other one. I mean, I get the love for Iowa, but at the same time, it's a team that really didn't have very many good wins at all.
No,
during the regular season, and then they got hot in the Big Ten tournament, and they needed the Bahanan Miracle 3 to beat Indiana in the semis, and now that's a dangerous first game. I mean, people love the 5-12 upset, and Richmond is a team that are they great? No, I don't think the A-10 was a very good league at all this year. But Richmond, the way they limit possessions and grind it out. Like if that number, I'll say 8.5 was the last number that I saw. I'm hoping by game time, maybe I'll be able to get 9 or 9.5 and see if Richmond can maybe slow them down a little bit and keep that game. I don't think Richmond can win.
I went to the A-10 tournament down here in D.C. Friday and Sunday, and I got to see Davidson twice. I got to see Richmond twice. And here's the deal. And I listen, they're as well-coached teams as you're going to face. They are going to be a pain in the ass for these their two opponents in the first round. My problem is they're not – Richmond's not your typical, you know, shot clock winding down. We'll always get a three off. They're not that anymore. They struggle to get shots off, and that was against the teams in the A-10 that I saw. Now you factor in – you know, power five size, and Iowa's athletic with the Murray brothers and those guys, they could switch pretty well, and they're a handful. And Richmond's going to have pressure on them to keep scoring. And then when you look at Davidson, I just worry about their ability to get shots off. They're going to have to be really, really clean and crisp offensively because of the athleticism that Michigan State can play with defensively. That's where I worry about Davidson against them. I think there's been Davidson teams the last three or four years that are better than this one.
Yes.
So that's what worries me about
you. You didn't like Davidson shot selection in the last minute and a half of that game on Sunday?
No, the
threes. And then how did they lose that game? I mean, you're up six with a minute and a half to go. You don't allow a 3-point field goal and you don't commit a turnover and you lose.
And that was after it went like 5 minutes without a field goal.
It was crazy.
It was not, but you could feel that. You could feel it building in the building. Just the angst of like, hey, we need another bucket here, and we can't get it. And Richmond's just pulling out and ones out of their butts. I like the A-10 because they do usually have some, you know, elite scorers, and that's what worries me here because I don't think they have now. Listen, Gilliard. That guy plays 40 minutes every single game. I can't believe how awesome he is to watch in person. He was not going to let his team lose late in that game, even though he didn't miss a free throw to keep it a 3-point game. But just seeing how long he's played there and seeing him with Mooney after the game, like it was just really, really good stuff. And I was fortunate enough to be there and just see that because that's what those conference tournaments are made of. And that's why they're so good to me. But getting back to just some teams that I'm thinking at as far as public perception, I think Gonzaga might have the toughest run when you look at every possible opponent that comes next. And let's just start there in the West because Memphis is a 2-point favorite. I actually like Boise because of the public. I think Memphis is getting way too much credit for the recent run they've been on in their conference. Now, I will say this. The Mountain West, enough is enough. You need to win some games. And listen, I've been against them. Like last year, I know BPI had Syracuse over 20% to make the Sweet 16. I like Syracuse last year. This year, the BPI, they're what, 17% say Virginia Tech and then 16% say Michigan. So Michigan obviously playing another Mountain West team. But Boise is a team that I think could slow Memphis down and make things tough for them. So I like Boise. I mean, think about that. In Portland, you get Boise and Gonzaga. That's an awesome atmosphere.
It is. It is. And if you look at that game and I think Memphis is a live team here just because of the matchup. Like I don't think they're going to be committing a million turnovers in the game against Boise just because of the pace of the play. And I think they just might score to be able to outscore Boise. So we'll see.
Okay.
Ultimately what happens, but like, I'm glad you brought that up about Gonzaga because I agree with you. I think if you look at the 8-9, the winner, especially like Memphis, like I keep having flashbacks to the national championship game last year with how Baylor just absolutely bullied them, out-athleted them. And, like, I could see that happening with Memphis again. Like, Dandridge and Dern and those guys, like, those are legit players.
Yeah.
Like, they are really good. And I know Gonzaga has their wins, and maybe in that game Memphis would commit a million turnovers, and it's a coaching mismatch of epic proportions. But if I'm Gonzaga and I have to play Memphis in the second round there, that's not a matchup I want to play. The third round, maybe you got to play Arkansas. That's not a game. Same type of thing as Baylor. That's not a game you want to play. Like if they get to the Elite Eight, they'll get to the Final Four.
Yes, yes. I even though I think because they played Texas Tech earlier this year, I'm pretty sure. Or maybe that could have been a year before. I look at a team as UConn. I've watched them all year. that they're a veteran group. I think they got a brutal draw here because New Mexico
State beat Texas Tech by 14 earlier this year. I'm sorry, Steve. I just wanted to.
What's that?
You were thinking about this year. Yeah, they did. They beat Texas Tech 69-55.
Okay. Yeah. But that's still when, you know, Texas Tech still had transfers coming in and things like right. that. So, but just going back to that top of that bracket, I think Vermont as a team, second straight tournament, absolutely brutal draw. A couple of years ago, they had to play a very athletic Florida State team who I believe went to the Elite Eight that year. Yep. Now they get Arkansas, who you know is going to come at you from every single angle. I'm dying to see what that matchup is in the second round. If that's UConn, Arkansas, that's a phenomenal game. If it's UConn, Vermont, if it's New Mexico State and Arkansas, either way, that's going to be a great second round game.
I'd like to see UConn, New Mexico State on the gridiron.
That would be great. Maybe we could get that. We get that in a quick lane bowl or something like that. Maybe next year.
Bowl.
Yeah.
Bowl.
Good things happening.
Okay.
We'll save that for the preview, our post spring ball pod. So yeah, I think Gonzaga. Look, I mean, those teams are going to have to face the one thing going back to Memphis is I think these now when you get in these circumstances, I think the especially Boise who plays good defense, they're going to make you have like if your weakness is shooting, you're going to have to make shots. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if Memphis could do that. Whereas we know Gonzaga's shot-making ability. Arkansas can get hot. UConn's a team that does struggle. But they do run offense, which I like because watching some of these teams, including in this bracket, they don't do it well. And they have zero interest in defending. And I'm talking about the two seed. and that's.
By the way, I was so angry last week being in Connecticut because I watching the Seton Hall Georgetown game and just like I couldn't wait to unload on UConn the next game.
Oh, and you couldn't.
I couldn't because you can't bet on Connecticut in the state of Connecticut. I literally almost drove to New Jersey just so I could bet UConn minus whatever the number was.
That was my best bet on Daily Wager Thursday.
I know it was.
Yeah.
I know it was.
But
Seton Hall's kind of in that Alabama category of
no doubt
bad shots, awful fouls, turnovers.
No doubt.
Sorry to interject on Duke. You can continue.
No, it's. I don't think there's much to say because they're not built to keep going in this tournament. And if they even do make it to play Texas Tech, that is a horrible, horrible matchup.
You think?
I mean that would be. It would remind me of the old Greg Paulus Duke team against Villanova in Boston when Villanova was Scotty Reynolds and that team. I mean they just took their manhood. And they just dominated him and made him look really soft. And that's why I think Texas Tech could do to Duke, but I don't even think Duke makes it. I think Sparty beats Davidson. And I think Michigan State beats Duke. So I have Gonzaga playing Texas Tech in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I can see that. I think Texas Tech will be the team that gets to the eight from that bottom.
Yeah.
That bottom region, you know, I do think Montana State can beat him because of that historical note. I do think it'll be Texas Tech, and I think you're looking at the Gonzaga or Memphis. I think Memphis was one of those plays where I think they were 30-1 to win the region. And I'm like, you know what, 30-1, couple bucks, whatever. Why not?
We're worth shekels.
Yeah.
First round matchup. I'd love the 17.5 with Fullerton.
Do you see? I like the other way.
No, I love Fullerton plus 17.5.
Really.
Yeah, they don't defend Bear. They do.
Yeah, but Fullerton can't hurt them offensively.
I thought they were pretty impressive with what they did coming back against Long Beach. I just think it's a lot of points. A lot of points.
I get it, and usually I am kind of dog guy when it comes to these big numbers. I don't know. I don't know, man. This team was picked near the bottom of the. Bottom of the league, and they kind of just
a long time ago.
I know, and they won some games and give them. I don't know.
So you think Rutgers could be favored against Bama?
Maybe not.
Yeah, I like Rutgers to advance. I know that to play Texas. Tough
game. Good game.
Just trying to think other lines. I would take Michigan.
Like if I'm if I'm Alabama, like, I don't know who I would rather play, because you talk about like teams like taking teams, man, like Rutgers, I think, is a terrible matchup for Alabama.
Exactly. That's what I would
and
say.
While, and while Notre Dame has Wesley, I think if I'm Alabama, I'd rather play Notre Dame than I would Rutgers.
No doubt. No doubt about it. And you got some tricky spreads with Arkansas 5.5 and UConn 6.5. That was the first bracket that came out, and I was like, whoa, this is a loaded region. So moving down to the bottom left is your East.
And those four seeds have really struggled lately. If you go look at the last 3 years, mm-hmm. 3-9 against the number, and they're just 7-5 straight up. So like these 4-13 games are very tricky, and it makes, and again, you're quote unquote a spread number, and it looks like this massive upset, but it makes sense as to why. And just because you brought up the Arkansas Vermont spread at 5.5, like, it makes sense as to why these upsets happen. Like, you, a four seed is basically a lower area top 25 team that's now playing away from home against a really good mid-major. And those upsets happened all the time during this regular season, so we shouldn't be surprised that they happen now during the NCAA tournament. So you just have to get, and that's one of the things too, when you're filling out your bracket and you're betting these games, like, especially when you're filling out your bracket, you almost have to just don't even worry about that seed number. You're almost better off just going down, finding the Vegas spread, and just putting what the number is in that matchup, as opposed to picking your bracket based on a seed, because the number is going to tell you more than what the seed is.
Did you know?
As I said, in the East, Baylor's the one, Kentucky's the two. Everybody has a bracket. They know what the seeds are. As we go down, I think Carolina Marquette winner could be a real problem for Baylor. Akinjo's been great since he's come over. The Chachua injury, I think, really hurts, and that's what happens in the tournament. You need those guys, the big guys, to just take away easy buckets, especially in a tournament atmosphere, to give yourself another chance on the other end. And that's why I really didn't like Baylor in the Big 12 tournament, even though I thought they were playing with house money, still haven't never won that thing, and I don't think they really care because they do have a national title last year.
Right, so exactly. And they really struggled shooting the three against Oklahoma. Were they like 2-21?
Yeah.
And that was a maddening thing to watch, just their inability to hit shots.
And I think Carolina Marquette winner is a real, real problem for Baylor in that next round.
Carolina's size could be a big issue.
Yeah, it matches up. Carolina's size and then Marquette's pressure. I just think they could frustrate Baylor. And then moving down, I think Indiana is playing as well a half court defense as you could possibly play.
Have you seen an update on Geronimo?
If he's
good to go, because that was the I don't know when people are going to be listening to this and absorbing this, but like, that was my biggest question. Like, without him defensively, like that could be a big issue tonight against Wyoming.
Okay, UCLA giving a ton. I like UCLA to advance. And this goes back to the thing, the BPI, I hate going against them because they've been awesome picking. But don't you feel like Virginia Tech, everybody's going to remember them beating Duke, and they're going to get all this money, and Texas lost the first round?
Yeah. And Billis, Jay had a great point on this game, and he's 100% correct. And it was something that I kind of thought about, like, how this game is officiated will determine who the winner is. If they allow Texas to defend and get out and bump and hand check and all that, then Virginia Tech's not going to have open looks and Texas will win the game.
Yeah.
But if they allow Virginia Tech to, if they call fouls and they get Tech in the line, which allows Tech to get open looks again, Tech will win the game. So how this game is officiated, and you could say that with a bunch of games, obviously, but this one in particular will, I think, determine the winner. But yeah, I do agree with you. I think Virginia Tech will be a very popular pick here. And for good reason, for the way they played in the SEC tournament.
Yes.
And what is it as well?
A lot better.
Yeah, even if Like, what was the note that I heard too? It's like since like February 1st, I think it was, they like only Duke had more wins in ACC play than Virginia Tech did. So it's like, it shouldn't have been a surprise to a lot of people that the Hokies put together a good run. I think people were surprised at how well they played and how badly they beat Duke in the ACC title game. Right. But yeah,
they took advantage of a weak conference. I'll tell you that. And they played well at the right time.
Yep.
Purdue is a team I have circled preseason future on them. I think I like their draw because of everyone that's going to love Kentucky coming out of that bottom. Mm-hmm. They got to do it though. I don't judge coaches on success in the tournament. I think it's a little tough and Purdue struggled as of late. Obviously last year losing to North Texas. Murray in San Francisco, I could be swayed there, seeing how much money is now on Murray. They are a pretty public team.
I like USF in that game.
Yeah, and San Francisco could score, obviously, playing the West Coast Conference. Kentucky, just the way they could come at you, Bears, with Wheeler and Ty, with two guys. And, you know, I look at Duke as a team. They don't have one guy that can handle the ball really well. I think Kentucky has two. And that's mm-hmm. why I think their versatility in the backcourt. But the problem I see is with Purdue, if they get to Kentucky, I think Oscar's going to struggle with guys that are bigger than him. And they got two that could battle him. And that goes against my public thing where everybody loves Kentucky and Calipari. And everybody will just say Purdue hasn't won the big one. I could see myself picking Purdue on the bottom side of that bracket. And UCLA is a team that they don't look the same as last year, but I'm not giving up on them. I just think they're as tough as it comes. And Cronin has done a great job of adapting his style. I don't think Juzang was healthy all year, but he did look a lot better in the Pac-12 tournament. And to me, it's Tiger. Tiger's got to play well at the point guard. He was phenomenal on the run. They got a lot more out of Bernard in the Pac-12 tournament. So I have UCLA and Purdue meeting in the Elite Eight.
Even mention Jaime Jaquez over the last week. They're getting the Jaquez that they got last year in the NCAA tournament. That's what they're getting lately for him. But you're right. Tiger eliminating some of the dumb fouls and the turnovers. I almost feel like UCLA kind of treated the regular season as a little bit of a dress rehearsal for the Pac-12 tournament and the NCAA tournament. How different would your opinion of UCLA be right now if Arizona doesn't come back from double digits down in the Pac-12 title?
Great point.
I tweeted out earlier, like, I would love a prop to be posted somewhere that you could bet as opposed to just betting both two teams to win the region. Like, UCLA and Kentucky versus the field in the East region. Like, what would that number be? Like, I'd like that bet. Like, this is the one region where I would be very surprised if the one seed reached the final
four. Oh yeah, for sure. No doubt.
You've got the best two, you've got the best four, and you probably have potentially the toughest 8-9 winner as well, even though I like Memphis Boise. But like, I don't, yeah, if Baylor gets there after all the injuries and some of the flaws that this team now has, I mean, well done. I'll tell you. But I mean, it's been 15 years since the defending national champion even got past the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
So like to expect them to win three games, I think is asking a whole lot.
Before we move on, there are a couple things I want to mention. First, if you want more NCAA tournament talk, check out Bald Men on Campus with Jay Billis, LaFonso Ellis, and Seth Greenberg. They drop their big tournament preview podcast on Monday, and they'll have two new episodes for you every week throughout the tournament. Follow Bald Men on Campus wherever you listen to your podcast. Also, new episode of SB Pod comes out tonight. Scott, his most feared thing in the world, fills out a bracket. It is unbelievable how much he does not like it, but he will do it because he loves you, the people. Finally, watch NBA Today, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, on ESPN and the ESPN app. You can also listen to the show as a podcast. Let's go top right to the south. Arizona, the one. Nova, the two. I really like TCU against Seton Hall. You touched on Seton Hall, not liking them. I like TCU in that matchup. This is a real tricky 5-12, 4-13 to come out to face that one to me. I can't get out of my head how good Houston has been in this tournament. I go back a couple years ago. If Michigan doesn't hit that, what was it? Poole made that shot, right? The half-court shot to beat them.
Yep.
Houston, I think, goes on a run there. And then you're looking at totally different wins in the last couple tournaments. And I really worry about them, though, now with no Sasser and no Mark and seeing an extended time without them. Those are guys that could get their own bucket, and those are the guys you need in a tournament. But I still think Houston beat UAB. Do you think Houston, because BPI loved Houston, will Houston be a favorite over Illinois?
I don't know. How much are you going to dock Houston? You got to take a little bit off of their power rating because of the players that they don't have.
Yeah, but they haven't. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. They haven't had him for a while now. That was my most interesting.
That might be a pick 'em.
Yeah.
That might be a pick 'em.
That's
Illinois is so maddening, man. They're one of those teams that, like, the individual parts add up to a whole lot less, like, than what they should. Like, the individual parts are greater than the sum that they add up to. You look at them, with the perimeter players that they have and Colburn in the middle, this team, the way they play D, this team should be achieving, I think, and looking a lot better than what they have going into the tournament. Chattanooga, I think, is a dangerous team too, one that needed that miracle shot to
get
the
dance and
problems.
It just sucks because the Curbelo dynamic of that team.
Like, they're worse with them on the court. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a weird, weird thing to see. And as good as he was last year and, them having, getting taken to the cleaners by Loyola, it's really, really weird to see. And when you look at those four teams on that 5-12, 4-13 line, it goes back to me trusting Houston because I know they're going to defend the heck out of you. And that's why I like them to face Arizona there. We talked about the Michigan-Colorado State matchup. I just think Michigan is a bad matchup for Colorado State. I think Roddy will struggle with the size Michigan can bring. Diabate has been really, really good lately. Tennessee and Michigan I see as a matchup. I'm not buying Loyola Chicago. I think Ohio State with Branham and Liddell are ready for this moment. I know they haven't looked well, and obviously everybody will bring up Oral Roberts last year. But
how Young going to play? I mean, that's the question for you. If Young plays, they win the game.
Yep. And that sets up an awesome 7-2 in my opinion with Villanova and Ohio State.
Yeah, I'm just looking to that game would be in Pittsburgh, which would be a pretty awesome crowd. I mean, you'll get a ton of fans from both schools there. That line flipped too. I think Ohio State opened up as a favorite now.
Loyola minus one, I think.
Yeah, even though I don't think this Loyola team is as good. But they went out and won the Missouri Valley when I was looking at.
You think Michigan should have got in the tournament?
Yes, over the teams that didn't, yes.
Okay.
Should they have been in where they are right now and not one of the playing in a first four game? Maybe not. But I mean, the players that they had with Dickinson, you beat Iowa late in the season, you beat Purdue late in the season, you beat Michigan State late in the season, they had some good wins there in the Big Ten. So I don't have a problem putting them in. I mean, I always have more of a problem with the seeding than I do teams that get in, don't get in. Because one of these last four, odds are one of these teams aren't going to really factor into the national championship race. I know UCLA did get to the Final Four a year ago, but like the path of the seeding and the path that you give certain teams and certain teams' opponents, I think is a greater angst to me than arguing whether SMU should have gotten in over Indiana.
Okay. Understood. I think Michigan can make a run here. I really do. I would take Michigan's draw over Ohio State's draw anytime. You're an 11 in your favorite. Give me that. As opposed to being a 7 and being an underdog to a 10 and then having to play a 2. So I actually think Michigan can make a run here. And if they, it's a great matchup against Villanova, because what does Villanova do with the size? And I've seen Villanova plenty of times this year. Just run that 5-out offense, which is just awesome to watch. And it really puts you in a bind defensively. So that's a matchup I want to see. I could see Michigan win it. I could see Villanova win it. But do you think the number one team people have in the Final Four is Arizona?
No.
Kansas. Out of the one seeds?
Kansas.
Really? Yeah. Okay. All right.
You know, I mean, because I think I still like Tennessee in this region.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't care that they got two freshmen in the backcourt. I mean, those guys have been fearless all year long. Ziegler is a player, and Chandler can make shots. Vescovy can run all day. The guy just doesn't get tired. I like this Tennessee team. And I think obviously the biggest question is going to be the guy on the sideline. He struggled since getting to the Elite Eight in what was it, 2008, that he's been out of the first weekend once. There was a terrible performance last year in the tournament when they got bounced, but it was Oregon State. In his last 13 games as a head coach in the tournament, his teams were 1-11-1 against the numbers, so they clearly do not play up to their expectations. But hey, we said that about Virginia was the punchline right after they became the first one seed to lose to a 16 in UMBC. Mm-hmm. And they were the punchline until they weren't. So maybe Rick Barnes and Tennessee will kind of be the same thing. Like, they're the punchline until they're not. But I would think that they would like their matchup against Michigan or Colorado State, and then a Villanova team that they potentially get to avenge a loss against, and an Arizona team that they already beat. They're probably better now than they were at the start of the year. Those freshmen have gotten some more ball under their belt. Kreese's health, we'll see how his ankle progresses. He says he's fine, but I wouldn't discount Tennessee's chances. I think Kansas is by far the most prevalent one seed in the Final Four.
Okay. You can get Tennessee plus 400 to win the region.
You can also have him at 38-1 to win the title.
Do you see anyone challenging Kansas besides Iowa?
Well, this is I've dubbed this my Kansas or chaos region. Like Kansas, I think they're head and shoulders, I think, above everybody in this region. But if it's not Kansas, like, it could be like someone like ridiculous. You've got a 2-seed in Auburn who they struggled away from home. The guards have taken kind of bad shots at times, turn the ball over. You got a 3-seed in Wisconsin where it looks like Davis is either still hurt and or on fumes. You got a 4-seed in Providence who Ken Pom has metrically is the luckiest team in the country. You've got a 5-seed in Iowa who is the chic, darling, trendy pick coming off of a Big Ten tournament win. And you got a 6-seed in LSU that just fired its head coach.
Yeah.
So, you could go down to, the Miami USC winner as a potential Final Four type team if it's not Kansas. I mean, what about Iowa State if they happen to beat LSU in a 6-11 game? The Cyclones played pretty well for a good part of this year and have some good wins. They could make a run. Richmond, if in the 12-5, if they happen to beat Iowa, are they going to be scared of Providence or South Dakota State? No. So, I think this is – if this is either a – You're loading up on Kansas and you're solo entry Kansas, or you're taking shots with ridiculousnesses like Miami, USC, Iowa State, because I think the 2 through 6 seeds have a ton of flaws and a ton of warts. And you talked about Villanova with that 5-0 offense. That's what Miami brings. Like they got a bunch of guards. They got a bunch of guards on the floor that can score. They got a Final Four coach, and I think that's a great matchup for them with USC. I know the USC's got some size that they might be able to exploit, and Peterson is a dynamic player. But at SC,
They lost twice to Stanford.
Another team just makes some unbelievably baffling decisions. Can't hit free throws. Like I like Miami in that game, getting the point and a half to win that game outright. So yeah, like this is a, if it's not Kansas, like I said, it's going to be something ridiculous.
Yeah, I like Miami to go to the Sweet 16. I think LSU's the team, because when you watch them, they are a pain. But like, I could easily see them coming out of the bottom of that bracket. But the coach thing really, really makes me think again. Just knowing what they were with him and all the chaos that was around that program the last couple of years, when they got to the court, they usually played well.
I was going to say, maybe it's a good thing now. Maybe it'll be up.
It's a weird, weird dynamic, because I don't think Iowa State's that good. I don't think they were a tournament team. I didn't see it. They started out great. That's awesome. But I didn't see it down the stretch. And Providence is a team. I'm really rooting for them because I love Ed Cooley so much. Like I want them. But South Dakota State is a team who I thought both those teams in that Summit Final were tournament teams. I thought North Dakota State was a really, really good team. And they should have got more consideration for the bubble. Just knowing what they could do and the veterans they have. And that's what I want more in this tournament. Creighton, San Diego State is a total toss up to me.
I'll tell you what, getting back to that North Dakota State, like the semifinal game of that tournament against Oral Roberts.
Yeah.
I mean, Oral Roberts doesn't play a lick of defense, which is fine, but the shots and the open looks and just the flow of that North Dakota State was that was so much fun to watch in the second half, the North Dakota State offense. I mean, that was insane. So, yeah, it's a shame that there wasn't a spot for a team like that.
Yeah, and going back 2 years, last year with Asemus and O'Banner, with Oral making that run, that was as good as conference tournament as you're going to watch. So to me, it's Kansas or Iowa in this one. And that's where I struggle, because I feel like everybody's going to be on Iowa and I have a future on Kansas, which really makes me hate when everyone says they have the easiest road to the Final Four.
Which is kind of why I said, like, it's either
that. I know. And I'm like, oh, he didn't say it too, did he? That's all I've been hearing for 3 days.
It's funny, though, because you look at, again, we've gone back to like the 4-13 game. Like this is a historically low number, Providence minus two. I mean, there have only been two fours that have been favored by 2.5, and they both lost outright. So like it's that weird dynamic of, okay, Providence has been lucky. They're so due to lose. The history says that they're going to lose, the spread so low, but like the world's going to be on South Dakota State. So it's like, what do you do on your, like, I might go like contrarian favorite and go Providence here.
I could see myself doing that. The problem is that now you know the style they play. I'd much rather have the underdog that is more of an offensive team in that matchup. The other one I thought I was going to pick, and then I didn't see it until later because the games in Milwaukee is Colgate. I like Colgate plus the points against Wisconsin. I still don't know what I'm getting with Johnny.
In Milwaukee?
Yeah, that's what I said, though. It was in Milwaukee. Like, I would have picked, I think, Colgate on my line in the bracket, but Milwaukee, and I think it's the last game Friday night. Like, there's going to be some that crowd's going to be feeling it. So that talked me out of, like, again, Colgate, Vermont. I just feel bad for those teams just getting a brutal draw and being in the tournament. I mean, everybody's going to talk about what Colgate did to Arkansas last year. They obviously didn't end up covering either.
Hey, by the way, I'm just looking at this too. Like, did you realize Wisconsin is 34th at KenPom?
Yeah.
And they're a 3 seed. And Michigan's 33rd in KenPom, and they're an 11. Interesting.
That's why I try and watch the games and not go in too much into the computers. I just I feel like I do better with that. And it goes back to the Duke and Tennessee thing. Like, don't cry about your seed when you have a better line than the two seed has. Like, just take it all in. And sorry to all the people down in College Station. I know you're still upset. Conference tournament wins.
Pac-12 over 5.5.
So you're thinking you
Arizona. Go over on that, don't you?
If you like Arizona and UCLA, I think UCLA.
Arizona's going to get three wins, you would think, at least, right?
You know, it's a UCLA huge one if you can get two? One out of USC.
I was going to say, yeah, that's what you're banking on. Yeah, that's
West Coast Conference is, you only got two. Or no, you got, oh, that San Francisco one's huge. It's 5.5. Wow. So you that's got, a great four, number.
You got three teams for 5.5.
Atlantic 10 over under a half.
San Francisco one. See, I'm not willing to give St. Mary's one.
No, I know. That's a tough one.
Yeah, that's. Boy, I'm tempted. I'd be tempted to go under there.
What's
if St. Mary's loses and San Francisco loses, even though I don't think San Francisco will lose, I think it would beat Murray. Like, that would mean like Gonzaga would have to win the title to go over.
How about Big Ten, 10.5?
It's a lot.
Got a lot of teams to get them though.
well, let's do that. Let's run down.
Think about it. If you get your first round, if they all win the first round.
Purdue will win for their first round game. You got to hope Indiana gets in. Like, what do the rules say on this? Like, does it include the play-in game?
No.
Okay. So you got to hope you got to hope Rutgers and Indiana win their play-in games. That way they get into the main draw.
Correct.
Man, I might go under.
See, I think it's over. The team that's huge.
Illinois
is huge.
As much as I like them, you're talking
me. And Michigan State.
You're talking me on to Houston in that game. Like, that's going to be a problem for them because Houston, they could bully Kofi around, I think, with Carlton and some of those guys.
Yes. Yes. They're so active.
Did you watch any of that game on Sunday? Memphis game. Oh, that's my good. That was just like
textbook
basketball porn. I mean, just like physicality, freaks all over the place. Like, I love
that no game. Chance of getting an offensive rebound.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say no.
Like, one and done. Yeah. Get back on defense. that Big Ten number is awesome. Awesome. SEC. Eesh.
I don't see an SEC number.
I see 9.5. You really need Kentucky.
Yeah, that's what you're banking on. And you're banking on Auburn getting to the Elite Eight.
Because you know what you really need?
LSU.
You really need LSU to play Auburn in the Sweet 16.
Yep.
Because right there you get two. You get three.
Yep. You get five with the third win.
Tennessee, do they have anybody on the upper right? No. Oh, Arkansas is big too.
Mm-hmm. I'd go over. I'd go over the SEC.
I go under.
I think Kentucky gets to the eight. I think Tennessee gets to the eight.
So if they get to the eight, that's three.
Three. So that's six right there between Kentucky and Tennessee. Auburn won't lose to Jacksonville State. That's seven.
Watch out, Gamecocks.
I think you'll be able to find.
LSU's huge.
Three more there.
LSU's that's the one.
Yeah.
You need two out of them. So if you had to pick, you would rather go over SEC than Big Ten.
Yes.
Okay. I think I'll take the Big Ten. Big Ten's got to show up after last year.
Oh, God, there's a reason they haven't won a title in 23 years.
Memphis is huge for your American over under 2. Mountain West, 2. Wow.
Yeah, they know. You're in an 8-9 game with Creighton. Your sixth seed is an underdog.
Big 12, 9.5. ACC, 4.5. Oh, God. ACC, 4.5. Unders, plus 150. That's a no-brainer.
You think so?
See, I sort of like Carolina's draw.
I think the bracket's going to be rigged so we get Duke and Carolina in the Final Four. Oh,
stop.
Kidding. Please. Kidding.
Please.
I'd go over there.
Yeah, the more you really, if you get Miami, it's almost
You get Miami to win one and Notre Dame gets a win tonight, like they could beat Alabama. I'd go over. I'd lay the 180 there because Duke's going to get to the 60. They're going to beat Michigan State.
You can have that bet. I'll book that one.
You and me will talk offline about a Duke Michigan State or Davidson money line.
Absolutely. Anything else?
No.
You looked at the women's bracket.
I have not. I have been busy with columns and this just in Daily Wager.
Oh, you're doing podcast.
I've been bracketology. I've been busy. I'm not saying getting Cam Smith home yesterday was a bonus.
Congratulations.
I mean, you talk about a sweat. Good God. You're up 3-18. Why the hell are you taking out Driver after you snap hooked one into the woods 3 holes earlier? And how about the onions with that chip after chipping through the fairway?
Yeah.
Like to come up with that chip to give himself a tap in bogey putt.
Pretty impressive.
Oh man.
Pretty impressive.
This gambling stuff is hard.
I grabbed before the Big East women's title game, I grabbed UConn plus 650 to win the title. And now they're plus 3 and change places.
That closing line value. There you go. Look at you getting ahead. You're getting ahead of the move.
Hey, Gino, this type of year usually does pretty well. I'll take my shot.
What's it been 4 years since they won?
Yeah.
So what's their, what are they, a 2 seed, I'm guessing is what?
They're a 2 seed in NC State. They're a 2 seed in the Bridgeport region. Come on. They're going. So what's your Final Four in your bracket? I have 2 and I'm not sure on which one I'm submitting.
UCLA, Tennessee, Kansas, and I don't know about the
other. You don't like Texas Tech as much as I do.
And Texas Tech or Gonzaga.
Okay.
I haven't fully gotten through it yet.
I think Villanova is worth a shot to make the Final Four. I just love the way they play.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like they're not as good as the teams that won the national title, but you know they'll be a tough out.
And then one more I wanted to check to make the Sweet 16. The UConn Huskies plus 140. I will take that.
I mean, you could just money line it too. Is what you could do.
You think there'll be a dog against Arkansas?
Yes.
Okay.
Team, here we go. See, these are what I like. These are kind of like our either ors. I'm looking at the Caesars website right now.
Yeah.
Team to progress the furthest, Tennessee or Purdue? Tennessee minus 145.
See, I like Purdue in that one.
Team to progress the furthest, Murray State minus 140 over Miami.
I take Miami.
Team to progress the furthest, Villanova minus 105, Duke minus 115.
Villanova all day.
So here's one that I like. Taking team with the most wins, Texas Tech versus Purdue. I take Texas Tech there.
Ooh, yeah.
Texas Tech minus 115.
There you go. Saban, Alabama versus LSU.
Gonzaga versus Arizona. Gonzaga minus 240. Like this is a wild one too.
I would take Arizona there.
Yeah. Arizona versus Kansas. Arizona minus 115, Kansas minus 105. Like that's a weird one right there because like Kansas's draw like should have them in the eight.
Well, see, that's why I asked you about the public. Like, I think it's pretty split. People, I think everybody has Arizona playing Kansas in their bracket. Okay. Everybody except me. That's why I won't pick that. That's what I try and get at. Kentucky versus Auburn. Who will go farther? Give me Kentucky all day. They're plus money. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, a lot of interesting ones here.
Yeah, they did a good job. Good stuff. All right. Anything else before we go? How are the Jets doing in free agency?
I saw they signed Uzoma and Laken Tomlinson, which is pretty good.
All right.
And then help bring in some guys on the offense. Now they just need a quarterback.
There we go. They'll get there.
We'll see what they do in the draft with two top 10 picks. Can't wait to get out. You're coming out, right, for the draft?
I would hope so. Well, we're coming to your city. Do you want Kyle Hamilton?
Do I want him? I think there's probably better uses of the pick.
Okay.
At that high of a pick. But okay. He's a good player.
All right.
I would prefer, it depends what they're doing for agency. I would prefer a cornerback. Like, I think Stingley's going to be a great pro. Look at the way he played as a freshman. He clearly held himself out the last 2 years. LSU was a freaking mess. He's going to be a great pro. So I'll take Stingley and maybe Kyle Linderbaum. Can't win without an offensive line, my man.
Darn right you can't. You are darn right. All righty. That will do it for us. Maybe pre-Masters?
Well, pre-Masters, shoot. Pre-Sweet 16. I think we should come back next week.
Oh, next week. All right. Done. Done.
Maybe not for as long as we knocked it around here.
Okay.
But... yeah, give the people a little Sweet 16 preview.
Very good. Thanks to everybody. You got any questions? Tweet at us at Chris Felik on Twitter at StanfordSteve82. It's a great time. I hope everybody enjoys it. We will talk to you next week. Bear, take us away.
Yeah, I will thread together some more of those bracket tournament tidbits mm-hmm. on my timeline once I finalize updating and adding some more of them. So for those who like that, I will take care of that. And remember, the less you bet, the more you lose when you win.
You can listen or follow the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, don't miss more from Stanford Steve on ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And check out the Bear on College Game Day on ESPN.